Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful that you are here among us, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just open your word to us this morning, Father, and may the thoughts that you have for us this morning may be present, Lord, and may be able to be administered, Father, and sink into our hearts, Lord, and become part of our life. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us here in this congregation. Those that may be tuned in this morning, Father, I pray that you are a portion, Father. We look to you for everything, and we place these things now into the name, into your hands, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just before you're seated, let's just read Numbers 30 and 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Amen. You can be seated. As I have 33 pages up here, so I may skip a few things, so don't panic. I'll get going as soon as possible here. Last communion, we spoke on the vow as well, and it was more pertaining toward the church. Today, we're talking about ourselves in human form as well. And I actually had a lot of run over from last sermon get put into this one, and then only half of the other one, so we'll finish on communion next Sunday. So I think the next one will be a lot shorter. And don't get your feelings hurt this morning. This is purely the Word of God. If the shoe fits, I'm just going to tell you to wear it, okay? If the Lord speaks to you, okay? And a vow, and we want to kind of talk about the dedication of a vow. And if a man makes a vow, he is promised, God demands that you keep that vow. And why? Because anything that comes out of your mouth as a promise to God, he expects you to keep, right? We don't promise God something that we don't intend to keep. Otherwise, you're lying to him, right? Brother Branham says, now he's beginning to talk about what is it? Let's go on to perfection. Now he said, not carnal laying the foundation here of doctrines and baptisms and reformations and so forth. Let's not do that. Let's go on to perfection. The subject is perfection, and perfection comes by Christ. And how did we get into Christ? By joining the church? By one spirit, we are baptized into one body. Not by one tongue talked in, one handshake or one hand shook in, one water baptism in, but by one spirit we are baptized into one body. You get it? That's the perfection. And when you come into that, you are in Christ, and the world is dead to you. Amen? And you walk with the Lamb each day. Amen? That's how Enoch got out of here. He walked with the Lord every single day. And why is that important? Because Brother Branham said the rapture would pass right through you and you wouldn't know it. Well, how are you going to know it if you're not walking with him? Okay? And the Lamb each day, and your steps are ordained of God. What to do? Oh, the trials and testings that we go through, you say, do you have testings? Yes, sir. Grace is what God did for me, and works is what I do for God. Now, that'll make a doctrine go out. Brother Branham was just prophesying right there. Amen. They think that works is what wins merits. If it is, it isn't a free gift. Grace is what God did for you. By grace, you're saved. And works is what you do in appreciation of the grace that he showed to you. Amen. Amen. We don't fear that we're going to hell, so we serve God, right? A lot of people do that and don't realize it. We don't do that. We serve God because we love him. We want to do what pleases him. He, in his grace, was able to save us. We're thankful for that. And in return, we just do the things that he tells us what in his word. Amen. And if you love him, you like to do the works of the Lord, certainly because you love him. Accepting Mede Broy as my wife was what love done for her. What she does in appreciation, she's a nice woman, stays home, takes care of the children, and lives a good, true life. That's not because we're not married. We are married. But she does that in appreciation. If she runs downtown every day and took it to every 10-cent store and up and down the streets and never washed the dishes or anything else, we are still married. Absolutely. When I took my vow, that settled it. She's my wife. As long as there's life in us, she's my wife. That's her vow. That's what appreciation she does for that. She stays home and takes care of the children and tries to be a real wife. I'm not saying that you have to stay home. My wife works. And she takes care of the house. So she does double. Amen. I do appreciate that. I could run out and be gone all the time. I could go hunt every night, like some people do, right? Or go fly my airplane every night. I don't do that. Costs too much. Just gagging about over the country and letting the other half starve and anything, let the children go without sometimes something to eat. We're still married. If she even divorces me, I'm still married. As long as there's life in my body, I took that vow till death do we separate. Amen. That is a solemn vow. And I added this scripture in here, John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Amen. That is my promise when I married my wife, right? That's your promise when you married your husband. It's the same thing to Christ, right? That's right. We're still married, but yeah, I make a poor excuse of a husband. She make a poor excuse as a wife. So if we love one another, we stick together and we pull the load together. Amen. That's the way God and his church is. Amen. When you're born into the kingdom of God, you'll have your ups and downs. That's true. But you're still a Christian. You're still born of the Spirit of God. God may have to take you out of earth early. It is impossible for those which were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift to ever fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance. Now, I know where what you're thinking about, the church. Let me take you just a little stronger so the legalistic side can be really shut out. Let's go over here to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and look just for a little bit. The 10th chapter and the 26th verse. For if we sin willfully, after we had received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. If we sin, if we disbelieve God's word willfully, we've received the knowledge of our day, and sin, and you disbelieve, you say, well, that's not for me, and you push it out. There remaineth no more sacrifice for you to come back. But a certain feel for looking of the judgment and the fire and indignation which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. They stoned him, right? As Brother Brian had said on the last sermon. He that despised Moses, okay? Of how much more sore punishment those supposed thought worthy and who was trod underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing done despite to the works of grace. So what is he saying there? He kind of this. I left it in there just exactly the way Brother Branham read it. I could have fixed that, but or read it, or put it in as another scripture. Whenever you say a trial comes about and you fall. Let's just put it that way. And you count the blood of God not worthy to cleanse you from that if you repent. There's still time. You can fall. You must repent. Then you're still under the blood. Now, if you say, well, that sin was too great, you literally count the blood of Jesus Christ to none effect. Paul was a murderer. David was an adulterer. We can go on and on and on. Those are examples in the Bible saying that, oh, well, I can do that. No, that means that God is able to bring justice to that person as long as they count the blood of the covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, worthy. Sin is not believing that. So when you disbelieve that God can forgive you and cover that, the blood covers everything, not just something or some things. It covers everything if you repent and you place it under the blood. Now, don't dig it back up. Once you place it under the blood, what does the Bible say? Don't put your hand to the plow and then turn around and look back to see if it's still covered. Don't dig that seed up, as Brother Branham said, the farmers, a newbie farmer would, and see if it's growing. No, it's under there. Leave it there. Now you say, what about Brother Branham? How does that look? Now, just to read, I think the scripture doesn't say that. That's not talking about a Christian. That's talking about a man that heard the word and turned away from it. See, if we sin, we sin is unbelief. If we disbelieve willfully after the gospel has been preached to us, there remaineth no more sacrifice of sin. What is sin? Unbelief. Read St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Sin is not smoking or drinking or committing adultery. You do those things because you're an unbeliever. That's just the attributes. You do that because you're an unbeliever. Just to quit smoking or to quit drinking or so forth like that, that doesn't mean you're a Christian. That just the attributes of your conversion. But you can do the other, either side and still not be a Christian, right? Those are just, as we read in the beginning there, it's what you do for God. You quit drinking because it doesn't please God. You quit smoking because it doesn't please God. You don't cut your hair or do this or do that. You don't mingle with the world because it pleases God that you are separated from those things. And that's from Hebrews, the 6th chapter and 57. But I think today, when we see our sisters wearing long hair, as the Bible said they should, I think it's a Nazarite sign. And my pretext for the sermon on communion was a Nazarite vow. And we're going to go through a bunch of it now. Our sisters wearing long hair, what does that mean? Brother Branham was a typologist. The Bible is put in there. Even Jesus, he spoke in parables. The prophet of our day spoke in hunting terms, sisters terms, but read between the lines, and we're going to go through this. So what does a sister wearing long hair have to do with a Nazarite sign? It's not talking about your hair, sister. He is, because that's the human side. The quarter has a heads and a tails, right? There's the human side that he's talking about in the Bible, and then there's the spiritual side. The spiritual side is you're dressed in the word. Okay, that's your hair, that's your covering, okay? That's the Nazarite sign that want to follow the Lord. I know that sounds flat, I want to go home. See, because it is, it looks like somebody is trying to keep something that God told them to do as a work. No matter what the price the world has to say about it out there, or how many scornful or laughers or critics, that doesn't bother a person that's totally separated from the world, from the things of the world, to the things of God. They obey the word and separate themselves from the things of the world, because the word separates them. I know they stand criticism, but if it wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The world always knows its own. But as I have said that, remember, criticism on the account of the word of God is only growing pains of his grace. It shows that you have separated yourselves to be a Christian, to act like one, to live like one, and to obey every commandment of God. It is a Nazarite vow to separate. A call from God that separates you from the things of the world. I believe tonight that every man and woman, every boy and girl that's born of the Spirit of God is a Nazarite unto the Lord, because they have separated themselves from the cares of the world and whatever the world has got to say. Amen. And that's God's word calls for a total separation in 1964. Again, Brother Branham's talking about a long hair is a Nazirite vow. It showed that you've cut yourself out of the from the world to obey the word. Amen. Samson let his hair grow out for a Nazirite vow. Now we realize these things. A woman dressing and acting and doing a man preventing them to do it is a big bunch of sissies. It seems like there is not even any man anymore. You see, man wearing pink shoes and preachers on the pulpit, something like that, that's a disgrace. I like to see a man that's absolutely a man and looks like there's a power that drives them to do that. It's perversion, right? It's the devil and the pressures of this day. That's right. Sometime a man weigh 200 pounds and muscle like that and not an ounce of man in him and acts like a big sissy out here. Let man be man. Let a woman be feminish. Let them ladies, when the token is applied, they turn back to God to make them different. They are different. Man wants to look like a woman, and woman wants to look like a man. Isn't that the case in our day-to-day? It goes to show that there is a perversion, a dark spirit hanging over, a gross darkness over the people. So anytime, we're going to go to the human side, okay? So bear with me. Anytime a woman tries to take the place of a man, regardless if it's in your relationship as a married couple or in this situation, say here, as a pastor or a preacher, anytime that you get that spirit on you, it's perversion. Amen. The man was made to lead the woman, right? Christ was made to lead the church. And any time you have the church trying to lead Christ or say, you're going to do this or you're going to do that, or have a husband or wife say, oh, by the way, you're going to do this or you're going to do this. There's no leadership there, is it? You're taking the place of what the husband was supposed to do. It's not your place. I know we are strange creatures, right? All sisters can agree. We do things a little bit slow and a little bit more square. But if you have, if you're married to a person that actually is saved, sanctified, and is led by the Holy Ghost, we know where we're going. And sometimes it may be hard to explain where we're going. But if you love that man or that, you will put your trust in it, right? You'll say, I trust where you're going, right? Okay, same way with the church. We don't come in and tell Christ, well, we're going to do this and we want this. No, he tells us what he wants us to do, right? And we follow, we obey. That's our commitment back to him, right? That's our dedication. All right. There's a darkness over Egypt before the calling out, and the token was applied. It's time for the church to get the token, or a gross darkness will be upon the people. Gross darkness. Yes, clean out the cupboard. Clean out his house. Oh, we have a good old-fashioned house cleaning. Let the blood be applied. And then the token will come in. Amen? You can't expect God say, you give your life to him, and then you want to keep your vessel or your house dirty, right? God is not going to put his Holy Spirit into a dirty vessel, right? There's that part. It has to be sanctified. It has to be cleaned out. Amen? Can you imagine? So we're talking about long hair as the dressing of the word, right? Can you imagine coming up to Christ and saying, I am fully dressed, and you only have justification? You have no sanctification, so you're only half-dressed. And you come to the Lord, and you tell him that you are fully dressed in his word. Well, some people come before the Lord, and they have justification, and they have sanctification. But what are they missing? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they say, I have the full dress of the word on. But yet, you're missing your trousers. Wouldn't that be embarrassing? They're naked, they're blind, and they're miserable, and they don't know it. Just because it was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, we have to have all of that. Amen. Then apply the token in prayer with confidence. When you've cleaned yourself up, yourself, the bride makes herself ready, she dresses herself, she cleans herself up by what? The Word. You've got away from the things of the world. You've dumped all the unbelief out. I don't care what the people says. If the Word of God says it, and it's promised it, and I believe it, if the Word says it, that settles it. Amen. That was one of Brother Billy Paul's famous he loved saying that. I don't care what anybody else says. See, when you've got all that done, you've applied the blood, and you believe every word, then you take your token in prayer and be fully convinced. Amen? And that's from the token in 64. But in the old days, I can have one of these. Brother Branham takes a piece of paper. In the old days here, it was the way they made a covenant. That's why they made a dedication to each other, right? We draw up this agreement, and we took the agreement, and we wrote it out like that, and then we killed an animal and sacrificed, divided it, and laid it out like it was in Abraham's time there. And then we stood in between this covenant, you and I, and we made a vow to God. If we fail to keep this covenant, may we be as that dead sacrifice that laid in our place. That's how serious it is. Let the blood that the sacrifice answered on us, may we die the same death if we fail to keep the covenant. Then it is all drawn out or wrote on a piece of this script like that. It was actually sheepskin. Then it was tore in two like that, and Brother Branham tears the piece of paper. So once it's written on and you tear it, it's very unique, right? The writing has, it's all how it crosses in the tear. Now you take one half and I take the other half. And now you see, you can't duplicate that at all. So what is he talking about here? You can't duplicate having the Holy Ghost, right? He has one part and you have the other part. Jesus' prayer when he came off the cross was that the Father would allow him and to us to be one as he and his Father were one, right? That's two halves, not just one. The two shall be one. Okay, see, that could duplicate it all. This has to exactly dovetail with that to make it so. And then we come together. I'm carrying one part and you're carrying the other part. And when we come together and this covenant is to be made, our vow is to be paid. Then my piece of paper must exactly dovetail with your piece of paper. And therefore are the ones that's with me in that covenant. Amen. What God is showing here, he was doing that God himself was coming down to be made flesh, and he was going to be in that covenant. And God took Christ, the Spirit, God, Jehovah, took Christ at the cross, and he tore him in two. He ripped out his soul and set it on high, the right hand of the Father, right? And took the body and put it in the grave. And he lifted up the body in the morning of the resurrection, and he sent back the Spirit that was upon him to be who? The other half on us, right? The church. That same confirmation in the last days, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, where that same covenant would have been in the people. Amen. Some said the other day, not long ago, said, but Brother Branham, look at us Pentecostal people. What a fine churches we got. Why, we got ministers that's been trained. Listen, when a man marries a wife, he doesn't trust in her beauty. No, he trusts in the loyalty of her vow, her word. He doesn't trust in her beauty. He trusts in her loyalty. Amen. Christ trusts us in our loyalty. If he paid the price, he chose you. Amen. You accepted it. That's a promise that can't be torn apart. And that's the way when you marry to God. You don't trust in some beautiful church you can build, but is in promise that Jesus Christ made, that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do you believe that? And that's from Spiritual Amnesia in 64. And many a time men and women hear God's truth and see it vindicated and proven truth, but yet they don't want to hear it. There's some other reason. There's some other choosing that they have than to face up to the truth and facts. Therefore, their ears can be closed to the gospel. They'll never hear it again. My advice to you, when God speaks to your heart, you act right then. Amen. Elijah gave them a choice, which they should choose. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. If it be for God, serve him. If it be for the Baal of God, Baal be God, serve him. Now, as we see that all over natural things is a type of spiritual things, as we went through in our lesson this morning, as the sun and his nature. That was my first Bible. Before I could ever read a page in the Bible, I knew God. Amen. Brother Branham was a true version of John the Baptist, right? He loved the wilderness. He seen God in nature, and that's how he presented his message. And the Bible is written everywhere in nature, and it just corresponds with the Word of God. How that death, burial, and resurrection of nature, and the sun rising and crossing and setting and dying and rising again, there's so many things that we could type God and nature that we have to bypass for this message. Now, if the spiritual or the natural is a type of the spiritual, then the choosing of a bride in the natural is a type of choosing a bride, the bride in the spiritual. Now, it is a serious thing when we go to choose a wife, a man, for the vows here is until death do we part. That's how we should keep it. And you take that vow before God that only death will separate you. And I think we should, a man in his right mind that's planning a future, that he should choose that wife very carefully. Be careful what you're doing, and a woman choosing a husband or accepting the choice of a husband should be real careful what she's doing, and especially in the days a man should think and pray before he chooses a wife. Amen. That's all for you younger people that are coming up that may get asked. You don't have to say yes if you want to pray about something and you're not 100% sure. There's nothing wrong with that. A lot of people are scared, well, I won't ever get asked again, right? Don't jump into something unless you pray about it first. The choosing of a bride from 65. Now notice her long hair, Brother Brown, talking Nazarite vow to the world, to the word. I'll picture the bride of Christ now. We picture the Antichrist where she is. She's religious and everything. Science. Now the humble little bride of Christ just simply believes the word. Whoever she is. It's individuals. I hope and trust there's many sitting present, many listening in, and I hope that myself and every one of you are all part of that bride. I hope many, that all that's been ordained to that will be part of that, because it's their nature. See, the word can only recognize the word. It can't recognize a denomination or a perversion. It knows better. It's the word. See, it can't recognize nothing. A wheat can't be nothing but a wheat. It started a wheat, it'll head up a wheat, and a weed can never be a wheat. Yet it's watered by the same anointing. See, but it ain't a wheat. As I said the other day about a tree with the different branches in it, her long hair, that Nazarite vow, shows that she is vowed to God. Her beautiful gown is his promised word. Amen. So that dressing that you put on, when you come before the Lord, you have justification, sanctification, and you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, you are fully dressed, right? You're not coming before the Lord. It's why people running around and they think because they got two, they're good. No, you're not. You're miserable, you're blind, and you're naked, and you don't know it. Her beautiful gown of his promised word for the age that she's living in. Amen. So why was Brother Branham kind of hard on the Pentecostals? Because it was a coating over the true seed, right? Okay? The true seed was in behind that shuck being protected, right? We don't live in the Pentecostal age anymore, brother, sister. We live in the bride age. So if we are in the bride age, how are we dressed? That beautiful gown of his promised word for the age that she's living in. Brother Branham gave us everything. God allowed him to speak every word that we would need to dress ourselves and be ready that she's living in. Wrapped around her, how do you know you have the right dress on? He's vindicating her with himself. Of Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. As she is a part of the word groom, true to him in every point. Now look, if a woman goes out here and is married to a man, and she goes out and makes love with another man, and has affairs with him, and come back to her husband, he should kick her out. Is that right? She must be true to him. Because she is vowed to him, and the bride of Christ is vowed to Christ, and he is the Word. We can't be nothing else, because we are the Word. We're part of him, and he is the Word, and not even a wink at the other side. A woman should not even wink at another man. So remember, Brother Branham said that a woman is the church. A woman should not even wink at another. A church should not even wink at another man. Right? What does that mean? You shouldn't even wink at another age. So, well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecost. We're a bright age. We can't even look at that, even though we have it all, right? We don't even wink at it. The bride has never been touched by another, denomination. A woman should not even wink at another man. She should make no signs, no emotions at all towards him, for she is absolutely a bride to one bridegroom. We don't want no more mixed trees, your denominations. Be true to Christ, the Word. He'll vindicate it to be true. No, sir, not even an emotion of anything towards making love to him. Not join in their ranks or anything else, or let him get you in his arms or in his care and talk to you over this way or that way. You listen only to the voice. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. What is his voice? Any man's voice is his word. As this is, this is it, the Bible. This is God's voice. Amen. Not one word to be added to it or taken from it. Just stay right with that voice. A stranger they will not follow, a denomination. As she is part of the groom, true to him in every point, waiting the wedding. Uniting, not at an ecumenical council, but in the sky at the wedding supper. Amen. That's what I'm looking for. She has been given. This is for our own church. She has been given and revealed to her the seven seals mysteries of the Bible. See, she sees the folly of the deceiver. So very close to the truth that it almost deceives the elect. See, she sees it. See the two opposing spirits at work in this evil age. You can see it, each very religious. Cain and Abel, spirits again coming to their head, still the same as they started. One worshiping by beauty and by knowledge, and by education and by science and ethics, works, right? And the other one by faith of revelation of the Word of God. Both of them is standing right in this building this morning. That's right. In God of this evil age in 65. Now, in God's word, they are both prostitutes, but this one here is naked, miserable, wretched, blind, and don't know it. What a horrible position to be in. One is just as guilty as the other. A man that looks upon a church to lust after her, I would like to have that. They do things just right. And that preacher, just, he is so smooth and he pets you just right. That's a lust, right? You're lusting after a church and not what God's word has you to be. Has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So he's also talking about Rome. When you look at Rome, look at the buildings and the artwork on the ceilings and the columns that are wrapped in gold. I've actually had friends come back from Rome and they just are in awe. Oh, can you imagine having a building like that? And I'm like, oh, no, don't say that. It's adultery. It's sin. Okay, this is a human side and a spiritual side, right? Okay, and if this woman now, she would say, "Wait just a minute, Brother Branham, I'll give you to understand I am no prostitute. My sister, maybe if you'd be took before a Bible and put your hands upon it in the presence of God and swear an oath that you've been just as true to your husband as you could be. Your body belongs to your husband, but your soul belongs to God. There is an evil spirit that's anointed you. And if you are not, then I can prove that you're totally insane." Now that's pretty hard. Amen. But what gets on people? You feel like you want to do something for God, like say David moving the ark. It's out of his will. It's not time, and it's not how it's supposed to be done. Amen. There's an evil spirit that anointed him, right? He was trying to do God a service, but it wasn't his will. I can prove that you're totally insane. And that would have happened to happen with your grandmother if she would have walked out on the street with them shorts on. So what's he talking about? Brother Bram's talking about a woman on the streets, right? No, we're talking about a denomination or, say, Wesley's age. That grandmother, she would have walked out on the streets without the covering of her age on her. She was considered naked, right? She'd be totally insane. That's how it is to God if you don't recognize the message and the age that you live in right now. You would be insane, right? In God's eyes. And then you would be a prostitute. She come out without her dress on. There is something wrong with her mind. If it was then, it is so now. So it throws the whole world into insanity. The whole thing is insane. And it so gradually crept in till people don't know it. Now, is she a prostitute? Not by her husband's vow to her body, but before God, she has got an evil prostitute spirit on her that makes her dress like that. So in our age, if you go back to Methodist age and you say, "I like that dress," the word, and you only put that on, you are a prostitute to Christ because you're not living in the age that you were supposed to be in. And she is in the Laodicean church age and don't know that she's doing that. The innocent woman don't know that God will judge her for a prostitute that you are. You got it? You get it? Yeah, so you get it to her. You can't tell her. There is no way of getting it to her. The Bible said they're naked and don't know it. Amen? Then whose fault is that? Laity and the pulpit. So if you're in a church where a minister doesn't tell you what age you're living in and what God expects of you to do in your age, but he's preaching some other age, He's guilty, right? The blind leading the blind. But Brother Branham talked about the eagle that got placed under the duck or the chicken or whatever it was. Okay, that can happen. But when you do hear it, like he said, and you recognize it, act quickly. Move out, right? They're naked and don't know it, and knoweth it not in 65. Now, to recap from last Sunday's service, a Nazarite is, and this is Brother Branham's definition, it probably is from Webster, but I like it. A Nazarite is one that is consecrated for a purpose. That's Brother Branham's definition in a quote that I didn't load because I'm already at 33 pages. And today, dedication, a vow, a dedication, an act or a writ of dedicating to a divine being or to a sacred use. A devoting or setting aside for a particular purpose. The bride is particular, wouldn't you say? It's, the world looks at us and scoffs. You're crazy. Self-sacrificing, devotion, and loyalty. What does Paul say? I die daily. Self-sacrificing. You have to constantly move flesh out of the way for God to work. Okay? Now, this is a long story, so I'm going to read fast, but I'll hit a couple. Ephesians 5, 20 through 33. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So we're talking about the natural side as far as a man and a woman. We're talking about the spiritual side of Christ and the church. But we're also talking about the body being united, right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. This is a commandment. For the husband is the head of the wife. And so when you get an evil spirit, say in a church or even in a marriage, where a woman wants to take over and lead a man or demand that a family be run a certain way, you have an evil spirit on you. Okay? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. So in a way, the man, when you become one with your husband, you are what? He is the savior of your body. In the Bible, it does talk about a woman that will be saved through childbearing. And I would assume that that would probably be, these are my words, somebody that you weren't supposed to marry. Okay? But that woman can be saved as long as she stays with the man that is. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen. That's why, brothers, we work our fingers to the bone. We dedicate our lives to providing for our family, right? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Amen. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Meaning you have the entire garment on, right? You're not coming before the Lord with just partially dressed. That's why in the vision Brother Branham's seen, he's seen the churches marching up, trying to get to heaven. And he said they only had a fig leaf on. Can you imagine? They didn't know that they were miserable, blind, and naked in trying to make it to God. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Amen. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb right here. So ought women to love their husbands as their own bodies. She that loveth her husband loveth herself. I see a lot of times where people don't love themselves. Now, I'm not telling you to be selfish in this way, but if you can't live with yourself, how can anyone else live with you? Right? And that goes for the man because it's talking about this. So I'm going on a limb with this one. Amen. You love yourself. Why? Because if you tear the body apart, you took a vow before God to be one flesh. Anytime you tear that vow apart, you create death. You don't love the other half, right? You're creating a division. It's an evil spirit. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh. I don't hate myself. Do you hate yourself? If you do, you're in your wrong place. Be happy with who you are, how God made you. I wish I looked like Brad Pitt. Oh, Lord have mercy. No, I'm perfectly fine the way I am. Can you imagine hating yourself because you're not like something else? That's an evil, adulterous spirit, actually. But nourish it and cherish it, even as the Lord for the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Paul wasn't married. But I speak concerning Christ in the church. Even though Paul wasn't married, he's still using a Brother Branham analogy, talking about, and it applies to the natural side just as much as it does the spiritual side. Don't get me wrong. But he's using that, and so this is a great mystery. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now Jesus prayed in John the 17th chapter in the 11th verse, to you who's putting this down, Sunday school texts, I have many of them, morning 17:11. Jesus prayed that the church and he would be one like he and his father were one. That the church, we as members of the body of Christ, would be one together just like he and the Father were one. And at that day, we would know that he was in the Father and the Father in him and he in us. That together we are one. So what happens when you try to, what a union, try to tear that apart? A oneness that would be to see God in his church. That would be the desire, the ultimate, right? Till every member is just perfectly in harmony with each other and God. Because if you're a part of God, I'm also a part of God, and we make the body. Now, if I don't say, I'm going to use you for an example, Brian. I don't like Brian, so out he goes. You just tore the body apart, right? Each other and God. That's the church that Jesus is coming for. That's when his prayer will be answered, that we will be one. And it is the only grounds of fellowship that God has ever laid down for himself and his church. It's the oneness of himself in the people. That's the only grounds of fellowship, and the only way that you can have those grounds is by a union. It's a vow. It's a dedication to be united with him forever. Just like when you're united with your husband, the woman that to unite with her husband, it is a vow until death. Now then, when you unite with God, it's the same thing that the church united with Christ. It's until death we part. And then if you never sin, you never disbelieve the promise that he gave you, or do anything wrong, you'll be eternally united with God. Amen. And the only death can take you away from God. Amen. Not physical death. We all know that these tabernacles will give way if he doesn't return, right? It's not a physical death, but the sin of death. Amen. Disbelief. Sin is death. And what that takes you away from God. So to be united with him in his spirit, in his power, is eternal life. You're eternally united with God. Oh, I want to get that to you after a bit. United eternally with the eternal God, perfectly in harmony with him, perfectly united together, a church that all, both God and his church, is one, united together. And if you'll notice how that Eve was united with Adam, she became part of him. God, did you notice in Genesis 1:27, he created male and female, created he them. Now, the man was both male and female in the beginning. Can you imagine this left side fighting with the right side? Because, okay, that's a little comical, I guess, but God realized that that was not good, right? To have feminine and masculine put together in one body. Both male and female, when it came to being in the spirit of feminine and masculine. Then God took from his side a rib. Did you notice that the body part was a byproduct? But not the spirit? This is a plus for you sisters. You hang on to this one. Okay? But not the spirit. The body part of the woman was a byproduct, sure. After the creation had been finished, God took from the side of Adam a rib and made a woman, but not the spirit. The spirit was part of Adam, tore it apart, and she got half and he got half. Can a half live on its own? Can't. They have to be put together. Just think about it. For he was both man and woman. Spiritually speaking, both masculine and feminine. Now, we got people that run off with that quote and say that the Holy Ghost is male and female and blah, blah, blah. That's total nonsense. Now, don't you see the great picture? We in the flesh are different. I'm different from my wife. I'm not a female. We're like a byproduct, a created being. By holy wedlock, but in the spirit we are sons and daughters, not some other spirit, but the spirit of the living God. We are in his likeness, in his unity, in the perfect image of the living God. Wow. Because we become sons and daughters, not separated, amen, but the same spirit, the same God, the same person, joined in wedlock to the eternal. See how God planned it? That we should not be different, but him. We are part of him. Not some other being of some other tribe, but a real union and offspring of the Almighty. Yeah. Done by a holy union. Now the body comes from the mother and father, but the spirit comes from God. God separating himself as Adam was separated. Amen. That's how we get back. We only recognize God because we always were a part of him. We're the other half. What does it say in the scripture? I'm drawing a blank on it, Brian. Where they are not perfect yet without us, right? I should have wrote that one down. It's just coming to me now. And I'm not a very good quoter, as you know. Instead of oneness, we have separation. And this is natural and spiritual, which causes death. When you make a vow and a dedication and you cause separation, you're refusing to follow God's word. A church that refuses to follow God's words causes separation, which is what? Death. It's the only death in our age. A woman that refuses to follow a God-fearing husband causes death in the relationship. And eventually, separation if it continues. Okay? Now listen, do you see? One interpretation spoils the entire program. And when human beings was running in continuity with God, with one man and one woman, this woman sinned, this church sinned, and it throwed the whole earthly program out of the continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book or one word taken away from it throws a Christian out of continuity with God. Throws a church out of continuity with God. And it throws a family out of continuity with God. If you don't follow his word. Every believer can be thrown out, but not by not accepting every word of God. Then it was the woman that caused the separation. It was the church of the lovely home. It was not a cherubim that bothered the earth. It was not Adam that throwed the home out. It was not anything else that throwed the home out and throwed the whole thing out of continuity, but a church, a woman, Eve. And it is here that the beginning that Jesus spoke of was broken. Jesus said, at the beginning, God made one male and one female of each kind. And now when this woman, not the female horse, not the female dog, but the woman, the church, she broke the entire continuity of God's operation on the earth and throwed everything out into death. The woman, not the man, she broke the covenant. She broke the covenant because why? She stepped across the border of God's word. Okay, when a church separates themselves from God's word, and that's why I hate that saying of lay it on the shelf. Well, we don't really believe that, you know, let us tell you what we think that means and not be a prophet. That causes death. It causes separation. If a prophet comes to you and says, this is what God meant and this is what God said, then you can go to the bank on it, right? That creates life. But then you have some other slicker, the devil, right, come into the church and say, well, he really didn't mean this and he really didn't mean that. Be careful. Now, if she broke her covenant with her husband, she broke her covenant with God. Then because she broke the covenant with God, she broke it with her husband. And when you break your promise, your covenant to God's word, and this is natural and spiritual, has to do with your physical marriage in this building right now. And it also has to do with your spiritual union with Christ. That causes many illegitimate church members. Causes a group of men to get together and said, well, it doesn't mean that. And it throws the whole organization out of the continuity of the word. We don't believe that Dr. Jones said it wasn't so. But as long as God said it so, he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be the truth. There it breaks continuity. The days of miracles in Brother Branham's day, that's what he fought, right? The days of miracles are past. It was only for the apostles. It rings the same bell today, brother, sister. When you have a group or an organization come to you and say, let us tell you what God meant, right? Forget what the prophet actually did say, what, thousands of times. Let us tell you what God really meant. Let every man's word be a lie. All I'm doing up here is repeating to you what the prophet said. And if you can show me something else, I say amen to every single word. And God will find a place for it. Don't listen to it, brother and sister. Now we see, being that the continuity is broken, then the lifeline is broke. Also, the timeline was broke. It messed everything up. The rapture should have already happened. The covenant was broke. Everything was shattered. What caused it? A church. A woman. That's what broke the covenant. Now, if you want to read that, you can read it in Genesis 3. Now, it was then man was made to rule over the woman, to rule over the church. Then you have these mans. Here, let us tell you that the fivefold ministry is no longer present in the body. Same as Brother Branham had to deal with the days of miracles is past. Don't listen to it. It was then man was made to rule over the church, not as authoritarian, like you do as I say. That's nonsense. We're here telling you what the prophet said in our day and what hour we are living in by God's word. She was made no more co-equal with him. The church was no more co-equal. She was co-equal in nature, you know, but when she broke God's word, God made a man to be a ruler over her. Genesis 3:16, if you want to put it down. She was no more equal with the man. She was the breaker of God's word. Now, what was the purpose of Malachi 4? To get us out of that. Don't give up. It was to get us out of that. There's the key. She was no more co-equal, but she will be because we're the other half. Stay with me. She was the breaker of God's word. Don't you see? She, the church down here, the breaker of God's word that throwed her completely out of continuity, and that's what the church has done, and throwed spiritual death upon the whole thing. Now, you'll understand why I hammer at these things like I do. It's the truth. This is Bible facts from marriage and divorce. I've said time and time again, marriage and divorce was not, per se, about man and woman like me and my wife. It kind of was, but Brother Branham was hammering marriage and divorce in the spiritual sense of being divorced from the denominations and coming in, right? Amen. Now, but we find that Eve was easily persuaded by Satan. See that the church was easily persuaded by these so-called pastors and preachers. For the word of God, and she leaned on her own understanding, because Satan had projected something to her which wasn't to her real understanding of God. But she had something else told to her by the enemy, Satan, and she believed it. You wonder why you can't get healing? You wonder why you can't get deliverance? Is because you've listened to a lie. That's right. She believed it. When Satan tells you that it's not for you, but you know in your heart that God said it was, and you let him try to bluff you out of it, yeah, you can't do that. You don't believe those things. Now, we find the result of this. It plunged the whole human race to death because the first mother on earth leaned on her own understanding, contrary to the word of God, and plunged the whole human race to death. Now, do you believe that? Congregation says amen. That's the word. Well, a woman is always the church in the Bible. It's a type to woman. And a church today can accept a bunch of dogmas and creeds and plunge the whole congregation into a separation from God. That's right. You take man's, well, we'll take this little thing here from Luther's age, and this one here from the Methodists, and this one here from the Pentecostal, and we'll put them all together. That's dogma, right? Like churchy things, you know, do's and don'ts. And rules. Now, Brother Branham preached a Kroll-Aslein religion, people thought. He wasn't preaching about clothes and long hair, sister. He was preaching to the church. Read it. They missed it. They had, it's like today. The leftists are so feminine and just offended by everything. You know, that was the same thing that was happening in Brother Brown's day, believe it or not. He was preaching about women and long dresses and hair, but they got so mad at him about the physical side of it that they missed the spiritual side. That's right. They totally missed it. He wasn't really talking about that. He was. There's both sides. Don't get me wrong. But they missed it because they got so, the evil spirit come upon them, right? and it plunged the whole congregation into a separation from God. Those people who adopt those things in this instead of the Word of God are just like Eve, the church. And it has been done over and over till it's got the whole generation plunged away from the Word of God. And when the Word is made manifest, the Word is revealed, they don't accept it. When it's plainly told you, because they won't do it, because they lean on their own understanding. The church was built here. It's a beautiful place. It's a great organization. It's a member of a great body of people. Why shouldn't we belong to that? I'll trust in it. Trust not in your own understanding, but trust in the word of the Lord. Now, if it ended finally in death to a whole race, as I said, same as now, to the many people who rely upon their own understanding, their dogmas and their creeds, well, my church says this, and you say that, so we're, you know, but yet it means the same thing, a peering versus a parousia. Well, if you don't say the parousia word, brother, we're not having fellowship. Same thing. Nonsense. Understand their dogmas and their creeds and so forth, and claiming that the Word of God is not altogether true, that some of it is inspired and some of it's not. How can you have faith in a Bible if it's part of it's inspired and part of it's not? If one quotation is wrong, then the whole thing might be wrong. It's all got to be right. Exactly right. Now you have, follow the sign, people, take this quote. I believe with my whole heart that the message of the hour and the Bible dovetail exactly. We can show you time and time again, but then you'll have one person go in there and find where Brother Branham quoted 500 versus 5,000. See, oh, there you go. Not a new Bible, but the same Bible was being written in our day via Brother Branham. Amen? And everything that's on those tapes, brother, is for you and I. Not just part of it. But you'll have people say that this is inspired, but that's not, because it doesn't fit what? Your dogma or your creed. It's all right. God will find a place for it. There's where I'll allow you to set something on the shelf for a little while. But then you better go back there and get on your knees before God and find out where that piece goes. It finishes the puzzle, right? Well, any woman's got common sense ought to know if he'd run away from one wife, he'd run away from another. So the next woman come along after he lived with her for a little while, he took off with another, and she married another. All right, continuing on, playing the piano at church just the same. Rest of them did it, so why couldn't she? So it went on, and after a while this man left her, so she took up with a common law husband. Now the woman went, the minister there, went and talked to her and said, I'm all right, and come to find out that her sins found her out. After a while, she went down and she began to have pains low, and she went to the doctor and he examined her and found the female organ. She had a malignancy that was done too far advanced for operation and prepare for death. Nothing could be done. She went to a better doctor over at to a clinic. They said the same thing, you're dying. So it happened to be the pastor in our church was from the same denomination that this woman was from. So he went over to see her and said, if I can get over here, get her to surrender to Christ, I'll have Brother Branham go over and pray for her. When he went to see her, she just bawled him out for everything that she was worth. She said, I'll give you to understand I never sent for you. And she said, I'm just as good as they are. This is what the foolish virgin is going to say when they come before the white throne. Did we not do signs and wonders in your name? Did we not cast out devils? How dare you? This is the same attitude that Brother Branham's portraying here. How dare you come to us and tell us that we're doing wrong? I'm just as good as you are, he said. The lady's not it, smoking one cigarette after another. He said, you mean to tell me I know your church? Said, I'm out of Asbury myself. Said, we don't believe in such things as that. She said, I'm saved and I'm just as good as you are. See what it was? What was it? She had grieved the Holy Spirit from her. And the Bible said, the soul that sinneth or disbelieves God's word, that soul shall die. That means death, means separation. If I die now, I'd separate from you, but not from God. You'd separate from your friends, but you'd always be in the presence of God. Separation. Her soul had separated from her. Now, there's such a thing in the heart. The soul lives in the heart, and you believe from your heart. People don't get religion in their head for a book knowledge. You get a religion in your heart by an experience in the heart, a man being born again. And the heart will always agree with the Bible. So when you don't agree with even the human side versus the spiritual side of obey your husband in all things, and you rear up and want to lead your family from the front, out of place, you have an evil spirit on you. And the heart always agrees with the Bible if you're a true Christian. But the head will reason. There's a way around this. And the Bible said we got to cast down reasoning. You can't go with your mind. That's the devil's workshop, right? That's where he works. You got to go with your heart. You think with your heart. So her mind would tell her, now it's reasonable if these women can do this or that, why can't I? If this church over here does this or that, and they let their people dance around in the aisles and gifts unattained and just messing around, prophesying right in the middle of when a preacher's preaching, it's out of order, right? Now it's reasonable if these churches can do that, why can't I? They're called Christians. They have good standings in the church. They got good standing in the community. So why can't I? I'm a Christian like they are. And if they can do that, then there is reasonable. It's reasonable that I should do it too. Because I'll be one of them. If I don't, they'll think I'm an old fogey. I won't do this. I'm better than they are. See, that's the reasoning. It'll get you in a bad every time. No matter what your intellectual knowledge tells you, you don't believe it if it's contrary to the Word of God. Take thus saith the Lord every time. First, stay right with that. No matter, and your soul will always agree with the Word. That's right. Because it's the other half, brother and sister, that was torn at Calvary. If it's not, then yeah, you're going to go join that. You're going to go do those things. And when you see these preachers and things and say the days of miracles is past and all this is nonsense, just remember he doesn't know God. And that's one sure thing. For God will always agree with his own word. Amen? Certainly he will. And there's no Holy Spirit there. It's intellectual. And he might be as polished and straight as a gun barrel. And never committed adultery before the Lord. He could go up there and say, I have never sinned. Polished. But that don't make it right with God. Doesn't make him right with God. That's right. Never come into that place where we're going to talk of in a few minutes. So where are we? We're dedicated to the vow we've given to God. Amen. If you're one of His, you're the bride, you will recognize the hour you live in, the age that you live in. We're not whores. We are virgins to Christ. We don't take those things and try to bring them in and pollute the body and cause death or separation. I'll take this, but I won't take that. I'll do this part of the word, but I won't do that part. You cause death to yourself. It's the only form of death that is in our age. Spiritual death. Amen. Revelations 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's no charge for it. Amen. It's available to you. You can load it on a little bitty thing. You can have everything God said in our age that will get us ready for this bright age that we live in. But don't expect to walk up before God Almighty with just justification on. Don't expect to walk up before Him with just, you know, so-called baptism or a fake birth and not have the other two things. You'd be blind. You'd be miserable and naked and not know it. We're dressing ourselves, brother and sister. Amen. You all, everyone, should come into this church with the Holy Ghost so full on you that me or Brother Brian could not ever say one single thing wrong without the Holy Spirit correcting us. I seen it happen with Brother Brian when he was talking about the third pull. Did you guys watch that? Go back and watch it. He literally couldn't say the words that he thought he wanted to say because God wouldn't allow him. I don't know if you know that, Brian. He shut his mouth and he said it a different way. And in my heart, I knew that the Lord was pleased with that. He won't allow things to be said wrong if He's in your midst. Amen. He is here. Amen. Recognize who He is. The unity with each other. The unity with your wife. You wonder why there's sickness in your family. If you tear your physical relationship apart, you will cause diseases to come into your family. Amen. It's the same as the spiritual side, brother, sister. You made a vow to one another to serve until death do you separate. We made a vow to Christ that we would stay with it and true to His word until death do we separate. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to commit our lives to You this morning once again, Lord, to trusting Your word, Lord, all of it, to be able to know You, Father, to recognize You in each other, to be able to speak life to each other, Father, to lift each other up, to adore as You have adored us, Father, our own families, our lives. Father, help us to recognize our place, Father, each one, as a father of leader of a home, as a wife, as a mother, the leader of the children in the home. Father, I pray, Lord, that You bring those things back in balance, Father, that You create life within us, within our homes, and within this church. Father, we know that time is short. We want to have every piece of that word that You would have us to have on, Father. We don't want to come miserably blind or naked, Father, before You. We want to be fully dressed in Your word. That's our heart's desire, Father. You said, whosoever will come, Lord, let him come. Lord, we come to You this morning, Father. Dress us. Give us those things that we have need of, Father. We place our lives in Your hands this morning, Father, and throughout the week, that whoever we come in contact with, Father, that we would be truly ministers of Your word. Lord, we thank You for the healing that You've granted to us in the body, Father. We continually praise You. We thank You, Father, for those things. We look forward to what You have more for us, Father. we place us all in the body, in the palm of your hand, Father, and underneath that blood, where we know that's the only safe place. We ask these things now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.